days. We're starting in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We are going through Elkanah's Nebuah over to Eli HaKohen. Elkanah said over his Nebuah to Eli HaKohen, he said, "Hinei yamim baim yegeati yezorach v'zorah b'yizav yichem yehozachim v'yizachah." Days are coming. I'm going to cut off your arm, an arm of your father's house, from having an old man in your house. We said that not only will they not be old, there will be no prestige, there will be no influence, there will be no power. They won't have any candidates to be a Kohen Gadol afterward, and that's the point, that they're going to be knocked off from all of their prestige, everything they've had up until now. You will see the distress that the people will have with all the good that is happening from Israel. You will have no older people around, right, all the days of your life. Now, it's interesting. Midi Keneged Mida, their sons had eaten the meat prematurely, therefore they died prematurely. That's the idea behind it. Some say that Eli also would not be able to receive smicha, that there were people, those who were from Eli would never be able to receive smicha, and that applies to Reb Hanina and Reb Oshia, who Reb Yochanan always tried to give them smicha, but they wouldn't. They just never received it. The one man I will not cut off from you, you know, from my mizbeach. He will be there to darken your eyes and to make you sad. All the rest of your house will die as young men. There will be one man who's going to last, and that man is Avyasar. Avyasar would survive. Avyasar would eventually start working for David HaMelech. He would be the Kohen Gadol by David HaMelech. Then eventually he would lose his abilities and give it over to Tzadok, and that's when it went from Elazar to Itamar, as we talked about before. That was that. Yeah.
This seems really harsh, just for, two people. It's like very generational.
It seems like it wasn't just the two people. It seems that all the family became like this.
Right,
they were the leader.
Cursing the generations after.
Yeah, that's what happens.
They weren't born yet.
It doesn't matter. That's what ends up happening. You affect every decision you make. You know the famous story from Schwab. Shimon Schwab met the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said to him, "Are you a Kohen?" No. Yeah. "Are you a Kohen?" He said, "No." "Are you a Levi?" "No." He said, "Did you know that I'm a Kohen?" He said, "Yes." From Schwab said, "I know you're a Kohen." Chafetz Chaim said, "Do you know why?" "Because my parents said yes to Mila Shemelai, and your parents said no." That's a decision that affected every generation from that point on.
How come none of these guys?
Right, but that's like a reward. This is like a.
It's not a reward. It was taken away.
What?
We lost the Bechorah. We lost that ability to become
Kohen. Yeah, but you lost the privilege. You didn't lose,
Yeah, we lost something huge. That was a punishment. It's not a privilege. It's not a
privilege. Right, but personally, people, generations have a shorter life. And I guess life is a privilege, but.
Same thing.
God, but.
I could argue it's the same exact thing. I can't. It's a good argument. You have the ability to argue the same thing. What were you going to say, Dave?
Nobody mentions it. It's a Yasa. Oh, here we go. Finally.
What do you got?
The Mari Cross says it's a Yasa. But nobody
knows. Because he's not making. The Bechorahs were higher than everybody else. So Hashem brought them down to everybody else's level. Here, Eli's generation are getting cursed with being lower than everybody else.
Great.
So that's like a curse. It's not taking away like something that's more than everybody else. It's like bringing them.
It could be the difference between a few people doing something versus many people doing something. That would be the idea.
There you go.
Many people doing something, few people doing something. It's worse to get an entire nation to do something versus just a few people.
But their punishment was lower, less than causing the
punishment. That's what I mean. Few people is going to be a bigger punishment. This will be the sign that this is going to happen to you. If Chofni and Pinchas both die on the same day. If they die on the same day, then all the punishments up above are going to happen to your children. If they don't die in the same day, then there's a chance for this to do. You've done tshuva and things will be good. So you'd still give him a chance. I'm giving you a chance, he told him. I will set up my own coin, a faithful one that I want, and I will do it at my own time. But Benisa will buy his name and will make him a great house. His house name is Shiv, you call Yom. He will go in front of my anointed one for the rest of his days. That's reference over here. Tzadok's children ended up taking over the Kohen Gadol for the rest of time. Everybody that remains of your house will come and bow down in front of him with a little bit of a silver coin and a loaf of bread in order to get a silver coin and a loaf of bread. Take me in. Allow me to be here so I can eat a little bit of bread. That's what they said. I can't be a Kohen Gadol, those descendants of Eli will say. But at least allow me to be somewhere. At least allow me to do something. Everybody except shepherd of Yosef. By now Shmuel Mishar Zeshem. The young man Shmuel served God with Nehelim in front of Eli Dvar Shami Yaakov Yomim Mehem in Chazon Nifrat. So listen, there were not a lot of Nevi'im going on there. The word of God was very heavy. It was very hard to find Nevi'im that were going around and telling other people. Now there may have actually been Nevi'im. Eli himself probably was still receiving Nevi'im. Possibly not, because he was sad from this thing that he had just been told from Elkanah. But he probably was, but he was no longer saying things out loud. The people were not hearing visions like they used to. Eli was sitting and sleeping in his place. His eyes had stopped. They've been dimmed. He wasn't able to see anymore. So they say that it was within a day of when Elkanah had told Eli about what was happening over here. Why was he blind? The Chazal tell us that if you raise a wicked child, you will lose your sight prematurely, and the raya is from Yitzchak Avinu. No. That is true. Yeah.
He went blind because he judged with his eyes.
Who? Eli?
Yeah.
What do you mean? No, there was Shimshon.
No.
He judged with his eyes.
Hannah was praying.
Oh, good call. There's a good meter connected meter over there. Seeing with his eyes and thinking that she was drunk and thinking about such a great tzaddikus that she was that. That's a good call. That's a good meter connected meter over there. Whew. I like that a lot. They do say other things about Eli, that Eli was such a holy man. He was beyond this world and literally could not see anything physical anymore. You could only see spiritual.
That
was for sure about Yitzchak. The question is whether it can apply to a person like Eli. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe it was just saying that he wasn't physically blind, but he stopped seeing Nevuah at that point.
Stopped seeing Nevuah. That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Is he also really old at this point?
Very old. I mean, he was over 80. However old that was back then. But yeah, it's a good call also. Near Likim Tarnith then. Alright, so the Nair of Hashem had not yet gone out. Seems like this is a metaphor, because there is no Nair Elokim. There is no such thing. The menorah. But the menorah was lit all night. So you think that's
maybe
a
maybe it was the end of the night.
Something was a metaphor. That it was a metaphor. Regardless, yeah, it could very well be the menorah. Regardless, it seems like the fading of Eli's star coming up of Shmuel over here. But either way, Shmuel was sleeping in the Hekel of Hashem Asher Shamar Elokim, where the Aron was. Now that is not so. You are not allowed to sleep nor sit down in that area. That is absolutely impossible. Yeah, for sure. The lady can't even be inside there. So that absolutely cannot be. So others say that Shmuel was, the fact that Shmuel was lying down, it's more like there was an Ark of God located and Shmuel was lying down near it. And that's the idea of what it was supposed to be.
Like in the Mishkan complex.
Yeah,
like
that is the Jesus building and things like that. That's what it has to be. But the point is that the voice of Hashem was coming from the Aron Kodesh and he was near enough to hear it. But Eli was closer than he was. Nonetheless, he heard it and it skipped over Eli. Hashem called out to Shmuel and he said, I am here. Shmuel said, I am here. Now, it was not heard by Eli. He thought it was Eli. It came in the voice. We are told by the Derech Hashem and the Rambam that the first time that you hear a Nevuah, it comes in a voice that you understand, that you recognize. And the voice that he recognized over any other voices was not his father's. He barely knew Elkanah. He knew Eli's. Eli's voice was the one that he knew more than anybody else. But Yaratel Eli ran to Eli. By Yaratel Eli,
he was a weird way to introduce yourself.
And that's the way that a telepath, like Esav, even said the word Hineni.
No, but that was after being addressed. You don't walk away from like Hineni.
No, by Yikar Shem Ol Shmuel, Hashem called to Shmuel.
Yeah.
By Yomer and Shmuel said Hineni.
Yeah. So Hashem is like introducing himself to Shmuel, so to speak. And he's like Hineni. Like how is?
I think the line was Shmuel. Shmuel. And he said, Hineni, here I am. That's the way that they have it. And that's what it refers to. He's saying Hineni to that. But Yaratel Eli ran to Eli Yomer Hineni.
Oh, Shmuel said Hineni.
Yeah.
I was like, God said
No. He said to Shmuel. And he answered back, I'm here. Yaratel Eli Yomer Hineni. Kikarasu, you called me, right? Yomelo Karasu. I didn't call you. Shush called. Go back to sleep, okay? And go back. He went back to sleep. Moshe also heard it, by the way. Moshe's first Nebu in this man was his father's voice. Amram's voice came from the staff. How he recognized his father's voice 860 years later. I don't know. Maybe you always remember it in some way. Could very well be. I don't know. That is that. Here we go. The next thing is, others say that the voice that Akash Baruch uses is whatever contemporary prophet is there at the time, that's the voice that you hear, and that's what he heard over here. Mr. Shankro, Shmuel. So Hashem called out to Shmuel again. By Yaakov Shmuel, Shmuel said, Shmuel got up, and went to Eli, Yomer Hineni, I'm here. Kikarasu, you called me, right? I didn't call you, my son. Okay, so go to sleep. This time, he didn't run. The first time he ran. This time he didn't run. He was a little embarrassed because he thought maybe he made a mistake again. Yeah.
Eli was a Navi himself who had gone through this. Why didn't he catch on after the second time?
You know, it's interesting why he didn't catch on. I don't know if you fully realize that a kid, the age of Shmuel, however old he was getting a Nevuah. And usually it takes time to build up to Nevuah. And maybe Shmuel had not gone through the rigorous procedures that most Nevi'im had gone through.
He knew he was a special kid.
He knew he was a special kid. But to get a Nevuah is a little bit beyond what he thought even Shmuel was able to get. He was wrong. Shmuel obviously was there. Shmuel Tarm Yagal Hashem. Shmuel had not yet known God. But Tarm Yagal Loved Hashem. The word of God had never been revealed to him. So Eli was familiar, right? But Shmuel had no idea. But Yosef Hashem Kro Shmuel Bashlish is the third time. Yakam Yelech Eli. He got up and he went to Eli. I'm here. He crossed. He called me. But Yavan Eli Ki Hashem Kor Lenar. Now he understood. There's no way. It's 100%. It's got to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is calling out the Navi. Yamar Elu Shmuel Lech Shkab. Go back to the Vayim Yikrei Lecha. If he calls back to you, Vamar to Daber Hashem Kishum Avdecha. Speak God, because your servant is listening. Vayelu Shmuel Yishkabim Kol. So Shmuel went and slept in his place. We have Hashem Yisiatev. So Hashem came and stood in his place. Vayikrei Kefam Befam Shmuel Shmuel. And he called out like he normally did. Shmuel Shmuel. Yamar Shmuel Daber Kishum Avdecha. Speak, because your servant is listening. Notice he did not say the word Daber Hashem. He only said the word Daber. Eli said to him, say the word Daber Hashem. But he didn't. He said Daber. Whoa. He was still afraid that it was not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it was still a Nevuah. He was afraid of whether it really was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Behold, I'm about to do something of an Esau that anybody who hears it will close his ears, or ears will ring. In other words, he'll be in absolute shock. On that day, I will establish to Eli everything I told him will happen to his house. It has begun, and it will destroy him. Now, I don't know if Eli originally knew of that prophecy that was told over by his father Elkanah to Eli. I don't know if he knew about it. But now he knew about it. Now he was told it's going to happen. He got to Elo. I told him, I'm going to judge his house forever. By the fact that he knows that his sons were cursing themselves. And he did not restrain them. He did not hold them back. He should have said something, and he didn't. And therefore he's responsible. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli, that the sins of the house of Eli will not be mechaper through korbanos and gift offerings forever and ever. Now it's true, says the Gemara. Rosh Hashanah Daf Yukas. They will never be able to be mechaper with a korban. They will never be able to be mechaper with a mincha. That's true. That will never ever happen again. But they can be mechaper with Torah and chesed. If they learn Torah and do chesed, you can live to a longer age. For example, Rabba or Rava, we're not so sure which one, lived to the age of 40. Even though he's from the house of Eli, because he learned Torah. Abaye learned Torah and did chesed. So he was able to live to the age of 60 altogether. He lived to the age of 60. So there were people that were able to do it. I'm sorry?
At those times, those were good ages?
Not great, but it was better than 18. 18 was when they were supposed to die. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai heard of a certain family in Yerushalayim, that every single one of them were dying by the age of 18, and he told them, you're probably from the family of Eli. Go learn Torah and do chesed, and you'll live. And they called the whole family Yochanan, on the name of Rabbi Yochanan, on the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because Rabbi Yochanan told them what to do, and they were able to get there. So, Vayishkab Shmuel and Aboker. Shmuel slept until the morning. Vayishkab has also space. Hashem, he opened up the doors of the house of Hashem. Shmuel Yoremia Hagidah Samar Eli. He was afraid. I mean, Shmuel, he was afraid. I'm telling over the vision to Eli. Now he had to. He was a Navi. He had to go tell it over, right? But the question was, what exactly was the mission, with something to it? Did it have to be that way? Or could it be withheld a little bit? I don't know. It could be out of respect. He just held himself back and he waited a little bit. He didn't have to say it immediately. There was no Navi that said it immediately, but he said, like, I got to think about how I'm going to say this to him. So he waited a little
bit. But if you got to talk to do something, you got to go do it.
There's no question. So it seems like it's crazy. They must not have been told that you have to do it. It must have been told that you should do it. So let's see what we got. If I equal Eli as Shmuel, Eli called out to Shmuel, Yomer, Shmuel, Beni. Shmuel, my son, Yomer, Hine, here I am. Yomer, Maldover, Shirdi, Beri, Lecha. Right? What was the word that God told you? I'll just claim you, many do not hold back from me. May God do to you and add on to you if you hold back from anything that God has told you. Okay? Now, that was a curse. And unfortunately, the curse of a Talmud Chacham comes true even if the person does what he's supposed to do. And unfortunately, it happened. Shmuel's kids also acted not the ways of Shmuel. The same way Eli's kids were off, and that's what caused everything for Eli, Shmuel's kids unfortunately also went off. Not off off. We'll see. They weren't terrible. They didn't do anything terrible, but they were not acting in the way of Shmuel. Back in the Shmuel's called the Rima Lokis Hid Mimenu. Shmuel told them everything, and he did not withhold anything. God is good. Whatever is good in his eyes, that's what he'll do. He understood. He understood that this is there. The interesting thing is that Eli understood that Shmuel's prophecy was less harsh than Elkanah's. Elkanah did not give him a way out. There was no out of Elkanah's prophecy. Elkanah's prophecy is, your kids are going to be terrible. Your kids are going to die at the age of 18. There's no way out. By Shmuel, though, he gave him a choice. They can't bring korbanos, but they could learn Torah and do chesed. So Eli understood, there's a chance. My kids still have a chance. There's still something. That's why he was better. But Yigdal Shmuel, Shmuel became great. This is in Pasuk Yitzhak. But Hashem, Hayim, Hashem was with him. Elohim, Makot, Vav, Arts, and nothing he said was wrong. Meaning, he was a prophet, and everything he said came true. And everyone saw there was not one word he said that didn't come true. Some say that God fulfilled even the words that Shmuel said that weren't prophecies. If he said something, God made sure they came true so that everybody would listen to everything that Shmuel said. Remember, he's still a kid. By Yeda, Kol Yisrael Midan Vad Be'er Sheva, all Bnei Yisrael knew from Dan until Be'er Sheva, Ki Neman Shmuel Inavi LaHashem, that Shmuel truly was an Avi of Hashem. Yosef Hashem Le'ra'u B'Shiloh, Hashem revealed Himself in Shiloh. Ki Nivla Hashem Shmuel B'Shiloh B'Var Hashem. For Hashem had revealed Himself to Shmuel in Shiloh with that word, so he continued to prophesy, and others began to prophesy in his chus, in the chus of Shmuel and Avi. Everybody began to prophesy. Now we're on Perek Dalet, guys. Eid Var Shmuel Kol Yisrael Be'Yitz Yisrael B'Klas Pleishim. The word of Shmuel came out to all of Bnei Yisrael, spread out to everybody. Yisrael went to go greet the Pleishim in war by Yachnu Ela Evan Ezer. They camped by Evan Ha'ezer, right? And the Pleishim, Chanab Afek, they went in a city called Afek. Now, I don't know where Evan Ezer exactly was. Later on, it was going to be called Evan Ezer, and I guess we'll look for it later on, but it's not supposed to be Evan Ezer yet. That's what the Amalei says. By Yachnu Pleishim Likot Yisrael, so the Pleishim arranged battle opposite the Jews. By Tito Shmuel, come on, it got really bad, or spread out. But you know, if you saw the Pleishim, they were plagued in front of the Pleishim. But Yaakov and Marocha and Sodeh, they were hit down in the battle in the field. Ka'abas of Alphanish, about 4,000 Jews died in the battlefield. Here's what I got over here, guys. If you look at one, look at the map over here. The Pleishim came up from down here, came right near Jaffa to Gasri Mount, eventually to Afek. Here's where the Jews went. The Israelites fleed that way towards Tapuach. They went that way toward the east. So it says, by Yavo Amal Amachan is supposed to give up. Yavo Zikne, so Lomani Gafnu Hashem, I yom the Pleishim. Why were we plagued in front of Hashem, in front of the Pleishim? Nikla Yelenum Yeshilo Atamar Bitz Hashem. Let's grab from Shiloh the Aron of Hashem. It will come among us, and it will be in the hand, they will save us from the hands of our enemies. Now, they did have an Aron that went from place to place. That is true. There was an Aron that went from place to place. The problem was, is that should have been there. There was a different Aron. There was an Aron that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Not the Aron made by the Tzawa, but the Aron made by Moshe Rabbeinu was the one they usually took out to war. Here, they didn't take that one out to war. What did they take out to war? They took the real Aron Kodesh. That was Eli's sons. Eli was blind, or if not blind, Eli was older and not around all the time. Eli's sons went into the Kodesh Jerusalem and took the Aron Kodesh without permission.
Don't you die automatically?
No. And that does tell you something about Eli's sons. Eli's sons must have been somewhat older, because there's no way that they could have picked it up and brought it out if not for the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu somehow thought that they were worthy of carrying the Aron Kodesh. There must be something behind them. And I know we've said that they were over on Ishtish. I know we've said the terrible things that they've done. This has to be a raya, that they weren't over on Ishtish.
The Aron on the way to with David, the guy who touched it just to hold it off.
Well, no, he didn't touch it under the poles.
Nonetheless, he is right. I mean, he is right. What they did was, the guy put out his arm. He didn't even touch the Aron. He came close to it. The fact that he tried to catch it when the Aron carries itself, that killed him. That's what he died from. So that is true. He didn't even touch the Aron. You can't carry the Aron with Chatayim. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh, that's why there were so few Levim throughout the Midbar. Everybody kept dying. You cannot carry the Aron Kodesh. You can't carry the Aron Kodesh. So it shows you something about them. It's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, regardless, they were 100% they believe that this is going to save them. They 100% believe it. Vayishar Hom Shilo. The people sent to Shilo. Vayisum Misham Zaram Brit Hashem Sivokos. Yoshim Akrum Misham Shnei Ben Eli. And there were two sons of Eli. Imaram Brit Salokim. Kofi and Pinchas. They were both there. With the Aron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those two sons were right there. So we got in Pasuk Hey right over here. When they brought the Aron B'Shem to the camp, they screamed out loud. The whole land roared. The whole land shook. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. I mean, it seems like they started screaming out loud. They were just like, there's no way we're going to lose. There's no way. The problem was, they had a false sense of security. They thought they were going to win, which meant that they didn't. They didn't daven. And because they didn't daven, nothing was going to happen. The police heard that shrua. What's going on over here? This huge sound among the Jews. They knew that what had happened? The Aron of Hashem had come into the camp. They realized it was so loud it reached the police camp. And the police camp could not have been nearby. They didn't use the camp next to each other back then. I mean, that's not for the war. They were far away and nonetheless they heard it. The police saw and they actually got afraid because they saw that the Aron of Hashem came to the camp. Woe to us, we have never seen this before. We've never been involved in something like this.
They broke protocol. They should have consulted the Urim and Thummim.
No, for sure, without a question. But they didn't. They should have asked Shmuel first. Woe to us, who will save us from that God, these strong gods. These are the gods that hit the Mitzrayim with all their makos in the Midbar itself. Again, they called it gods. Because they were Pelishtim. Okay? So it says over there, multiple powers that were over there, and that's the idea behind it. There are some that say the Pelishtim are saying, nah, those gods plagued the Pelishtim, the Mitzrayim back in Mitzrayim. He doesn't have any more power. He used up everything he got back then. Nothing's going to happen now. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh really? Cool. I'm going to show you a plague like you've never seen it. And they are going to get a plague. Awesome. Hemorrhoid plague. Here we go. Hiskazku, biulanoshim. Be strong, be men, Pelishim, not woman. Hendabdu Ivrim. You want to serve the Jews over there? Kasha up to Lechem like they served you. Be some lanashim and okamtem. Be men. Wage war. I like this line. No? This is like a good line, very masculine, like that. At least let's fight. Let's go. It's unbelievable. By the way, it seems, he writes over here, the Pelishim's concept of divinity seems similar to that of the later Greeks who believed that a valiant fighter could overcome a divine power, that they would be able to overcome. Listen, we're fighters. We could beat Zeus. We'll be able to do it. But Yalakmu, Pelishim, Yenagav, Yisrael, Yenus, Yisrael, Allah. The Pelishim fought, and they plagued the Jews. And each Jew ran back to their tents. But Yamaka Gdolamod was terrible. But Yisrael, Shloshim, Elathrazim. 30,000 foot soldiers were killed altogether. It wasn't an orderly retreat. It was confusion, and people went everywhere. Aron Elokim Nokach, the Aron of Hashem was taken. Ushnei Ben Eli Mesu, the two sons of Eli were killed. Kofni Upinchas. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the Aron Kodesh to be captured? There are five reasons given over here. Number one, everybody's worshiping idols. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to worship idols? Then I'm not going to leave my Aron Kodesh there. Number two, Eli's sons together with the capture of the Ark implies that this is a punishment for Eli's sons' sins. That was the punishment. Number three, the fact that they had removed the Ark without asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the reason why the Aron was allowed to be taken. Number four, they did not daven, and they assumed they would win. They didn't daven, they were punished. Number five, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate to the world the power of the Ark, the power of the Aron Kodesh. So he allowed them to take it, so that they would see how powerful that Aron really was.
But don't we see in the past where it was customary to bring the Aron into the battle?
A different Aron. I said that was the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, but it seems like from the Pesukim doesn't distinguish between it. It says the Aron of Rishon Lobai, meaning they didn't remember when the people went up to kill the Amalekim, or they're not going into Israel.
Yep.
So it says that Moshe and the Aron stayed in the Mishnah.
Yep.
So
I mean, it doesn't say anything about the threat of the future that goes on to the special Aaron. But it seems that...
kind of interesting. Start from the Pasuk.
That it was a different Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, Moshe was told to make an Aaron for the Luchos, and Bitzalah was told to make an Aaron for the Mishnah. It's two separate psukim. They're totally separate psukim. Moshe is told to make an Aaron to put the Luchos in, and Bitzalah is told to make an Aaron in Parshas Truma. Two totally separate psukim. The Pasuk Pshat is that there were two Aarons. That is the Pasuk Pshat. The Chiddush is that, no, the Aaron of Moshe was put inside the Aaron of Bitzalah. That's the Chiddush. That's
Moshe
the Gro.
Moshe
was the wooden one, and then the gold Aarons went around it, and Bitzalah made Aarons to go around the wooden one. But that's a Chiddush. That's a massive Chiddush.
So
the Pasuk Pshat, it says there's two.
We never talk about two Aarons. I mean, yes, you're the Dayak.
The only time that we mention it is when they go out to war. When they went out to war, they used it. The only time that they didn't use it to go out to war was this. I'm only quoting Ramban. This Ramban, I don't remember where it is. Either in Kisisa or in Truma. Wherever I mentioned the Aaron, I don't remember. It might be in Kisisa where Moshe makes the Aaron for the Luchos, or in Truma where it happens by the first Aaron that's made, and he explains what Bitzalah made. I don't remember which one, but it's the Ramban that says that. I will tell you, there is an opinion that says there was only one Aaron the whole way through. There is an opinion that says that. I believe it's Reish Lakish. I believe Reish Lakish told that.
Moshe's Aaron disappeared
to Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu's base Medrash. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu left the camp and he made a tent outside. That Ohel was a base Medrash, and he kept Aaron Kodesh there. I'm sorry?
Where'd that go when he died?
I don't know. I guess eventually it went somewhere, but that Aaron was never brought into the base of Mikdash or the Mishkan. That Aaron was a different Aaron. It says, by Yarek Ish Bin Yamin, Me'amarocha. A man of Bin Yamin, guess who the man was? Guess. Shaul HaMelech ran from the battlefield. By Yom Shiloh, he came to Shiloh by Yom Ahu on that day. Magav Kruim Adam Al Rosho. His clothes were torn. There was dirt on top of his hands, on top of his head. The Medrash tells us an unbelievable thing that Shaul ran and grabbed the Luchos out of the Aron Kodesh from the hands of Goliath. Correct. Crazy. Ran, grabbed the Luchos out from Goliath. Remember Goliath, right? Grabbed it out from him and ran back 42 miles. 42 miles to get to Shiloh. How he was able to get there from that day, I have no idea.
He left the Sefer Torah in there?
There's a question whether the Sefer Torah was in there. Question whether it was. There is a machlokes. If the Aron Kodesh is on the side of the Aron Kodesh or inside the Aron Kodesh. But probably, yeah, he left it inside there. What's that?
Running 42 miles, carrying a heavy rock.
Two heavy rocks. Two Luchos. Yeah, unbelievable. That's why David HaMelech described Shaul in his eulogy, that he was swifter than an eagle and stronger than a lion. That's because of what he had done over here. That is pretty good, right? Okay, here we go. The Medrash also says that later on, they recaptured the Luchos. That the police came and grabbed the Luchos a few days after Shaul had captured them back. Okay? Layavo Vine Eli Yoshev Al Kisa. So Eli was sitting on his seat. Yad Derech Mitzapa. Right by the road, right? Looking out. He was scared for the Aron Elokim. The man came to tell over in the city, and the entire city started screaming out loud. Now, wait a second. If Eli is sitting by the gate of the city, and the man came into the city, wouldn't he have passed Eli? Shalmo, he says, he came around about and went through the back side because he was scared to see the guards in the front. He didn't want people to start screaming for seeing him all torn up. He wanted to tell people slowly. So he went in through the back way, which means that the last person he would have seen would have been Haley. That's what it was altogether. He heard the screams. The man quickly came, and he came to go tell the alien. He wanted to tell him the following. So he said, Pasuk Tetzvav, Balaam Petisha Mishmona Shana, he was 98 years old at this time. The Ain of Kama Velo Yochaliros, his eyes had stopped, he was no longer able to see. Right. According to the Medrash, his eyes had turned inward in their sockets. Others say that his gaze was fixed in one spot, he could not follow motion. The man said to Eli, Anoki Abam in Morocco, I came from the battlefield, but even in Morocco, Nazi, I ran away, Hayom. Oh, you see, he did it today. So, what? What's the deal, my son? Bayana Mavaster, the news teller answered. The Jews ran away from the police. There was a terrible plague against the people. Okay, so he's going lower. You know, you see how he's going? It's going worse to worse to worse. He said, number one, we ran away from the police. Number two, many people were killed. Also, your two sons died. And worst of all, the Arnold. Shem Yolkach. The Aron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taken. That's what he ended up saying. So it says, Vayyi, Kazkiru Shalom HaKim, when he heard that the Aron HaKim was taken, Vayyi Bo Me'alat Kisei, HaKoranis, he fell backward off his chair, Ad Yad HaShar, right by the gate, by Tishaber Mafrakto, he broke his neck, Vayyamot, and he died. He's not going to eat. He was very old, the covet, and very heavy. Husham Nisrael, Abayim Shani, he had judged Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. Now, interesting, right? Eli did not die because he heard about what happened to his sons. He died because of what happened to Aaron Elkin. Says over here, Mida Keneged Mida. He failed to instruct and perfect the next generation, which was the link between one generation and the other. Thus, he fell over backward and cracked his spine, which connects his body to his head. And that's how he died. That was the Mida Keneged Mida over here. This is an interesting little bunch of psukim. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Pinchas, Haralalat, she was pregnant and about to give birth. Lalat, instead of Laledes, could be, what we're trying to say is that she was crying out loud. That's how painful it was. She heard the news that, number one, the Aron was stolen, and her father-in-law and her husband were dead. She immediately kneeled and gave birth. The pain seized her suddenly. In other words, she almost had like a heart attack. And she immediately started giving birth to the baby, even though it wasn't the right time. As she was dying, the ones who were standing next to her spoke to her, Al-Tiri, don't be afraid, at least you have a boy. Can you imagine if it was a girl? It would be just so many sorrows that day. So many sorrows. She couldn't answer. She couldn't pay attention. She was not. She realized about what had happened, and she knew that something bad was going to be. She called the child Ichabod. Right, the next time he appears is in Moby Dick, the very beginning. But Ichabod, which is there is no kavod. Lemor gala kavod Yisrael. The honor of the Jews is now exiled. The taking the Aron had happened. Her father was killed, and her husband was killed. Lack of glory. Unbelievable, right? By Tomer Gala covered me Yisrael, he milked off Aron Elokim. She said, "Boy, the covenant is gone from Bnei Yisrael because the Aron Elokim is gone." They say that again. What was she upset about? Was she sad about the fact that her father-in-law just died?
Her husband?
Sad about the fact that her husband had died? No. The only thing she was sad about is that the Aron Elokim was dead. But this is the one she said. She said, "Ki Nilkach Aron Elokim." You hear what I'm saying? But it says that the pasuk says because of all three, the Aron, her father-in-law, and her husband. But this seems to be a little bit different. That's the idea behind it. That's that.
Well, no. All of this in the top of it says, you know, Ikavu because of the three tragedies.
But that's what the pasuk says. And then what she said was because of the Aron Elokim.
Right, but no, but she says Gala Kavod Mitzrayim, meaning she's talking about on a national level, it's a national tragedy because the Aron was taken away. But at the personal level, beforehand, it's all three.
That's a good deal, but that wasn't her words. She wasn't saying that in Kabbal.
Well, she says E Kavod is Ein Kavod.
Yeah, that makes sense. E Fshar means impossible. A in Aramaic also means impossible. So that's what it would be. All these things happened on the 10th of Iyar. And there's a minig for people to fast on the 10th of Iyar. So I hope you remember that 5 days after Yom HaTzmaut. That's the meter you want to remember. The what?
How do they know this?
It's the 10th of Iyar altogether.
Now, how do they know
that? I would assume from Seder Adoros or Sefer Yashar or whatever, one of the history books we have, Shalshal Zikabala maybe, from one of that. Usually it's the 25th day of the Omer. Okay, so that's that. After Eli's death, the city of Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim, and the whole Mishkan was moved to the city of Nov. That's where the Kohanim now moved to, and they were all in the city of Nov, but that's that. Eli's descendants, who right now is only going to be Evyasar, he now moved to Nov. Okay, guys. Plishtim Lach was Aron Elokim. The Plishtim took the Aron of Hashem.
Well,
Yeah, I don't know how long he lived. I don't think we meet him ever again. But the Plishtim took the Aron Elokim, and they brought it to Ebenezer, right, from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Ashdod was obviously their place, right? By Yichol Plishtim was Aron Elokim, by Yichol also based Dagon. They brought it into the house of Dagon, by Yichol also based Dagon, and they brought it right by Dagon. Now, Dagon was the name of the fish god. Everybody remember? right? Bottom of it was a fish and the top was a head. It is. It's in the city of Dogon from the Republic of Maui. I gave a whole shiur on it about 3 years ago on Shavuot.
Scientology.
What? Scientology believes in this type of an idea, right? From the waist down, it looks like a fish. D-O-G-O-N. It's a city in Maui, or it's an area in Maui. Yeah, merman, right? He has a little thing on top. He looks like this. You'll see him like that with like a little hat on top. There you go. Look at that. Pretty good, right? That's a good picture, by the way. I had a bad picture. That's a really good, colorful picture. But Dogon, that's what it looks like. It was totally, what's it called? He had mastery over the land and the seas. By the way, the people of the Republic of Maui, they have crazy stuff there. Crazy stuff. Their beliefs are nutty. Absolutely. It could very well be. This area of Maui that's known as Dogon, look up their beliefs of what happened. They believe that there's a star in which certain people called the Sirius came down to them.
Star called Sirius.
Exactly. They believe it's the dog star right around that area. I'm telling you, there are unbelievable, unbelievable little things that they believe in which they think that there was an alien that came down to them that told them everything they needed to know.
Good for them. This is
the Republic of Maui.
Scientology. And also the Heaven's Gate cults, remember them?
Didn't the guys know about themselves by...
Yeah, and they thought that they killed themselves while they go to the spaceship behind the comet.
Did they? We don't know. With no idea. Maybe they did. Maybe there was.
Their bodies were...
Their bodies weren't. Yeah, the bodies didn't go. The bodies were... That was nice. Anyway, that is that. They put the arm right next to Dogon and said, this is the guy who's in charge, and this is, you know, the guy who got lost, and God is under Dogon. They got up the next morning, meaning Dagon, no full of fun of hearts. Dagon fell on his face to the ground, the Dagon on Hashem, in front of the Arn of Hashem, Yichu was Dagon, Yeshu was Solon. They took Dagon, they brought him back into place. I don't know, you know, if I saw that, I immediately would be like, holy.
The wind blew.
A huge idol.
Yeah, come on.
No, that was round one. They had a boxing match overnight.
It looked like a servant bowing in front of its master. That's what it looked like. They got up in the morning, early, Mimachor the next day. I'm sorry?
The people, like, everybody had like their own god, and you know,
representation.
You got yours, and we got, and it's like,
I understand it. Listen, it's not like the arm looks that much different. We had Kruven on top of our arm. So you remember that? We did have Kruven. Maybe if it was the. But this is the Aron Hashem. We need Dagon, no full of fun of ourself, with the Aron Hashem. Again, Dagon is fallen on his face on the ground in front of the Aron Hashem, but Rosh Dagon, who stayed couples the other, its head and its two hands, Krusos, they were cut off Elamithon by the lintel, Rak Dagoni Sharla. Only Dagon's trunk was sitting on top of that. That is absolutely awesome. But you didn't get it the first time, guys. Okay? I just cut off your idol's got here. Its head and arms. Kapos Yod, it could be hands. It could be hands. You might be right. That's why the priests of Dagon, anybody who goes to the house of Dagon, they do not go on the lintel of Dagon. The Ashdod, Adiyom Hazeh, and Ashdod, even until today. I wish it was still today. Can you imagine seeing that and having like some type of GPS image over here?
Of what? Dagon?
And seeing that nobody's allowed to go in that area over there? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, there's a big machlokas that is stemmed from this pasuk. If an idol breaks, are you allowed to use the metal from that idol?
Can't you? We did in the Beis Hamikdash. We consecrated so much stuff. That was for sure used.
We might have melted it down. We smelted it.
Okay.
Whatever, some of that. But can you use it as it is? So the answer is the following. It says, you see from Dogon that they don't care if it's broken. They still treat it as a god. So Reish Lakish paskin from here that a broken idol is still an idol. Rabbi Yochanan argues, when we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, no, it's the opposite, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yochanan says you can't derive any benefit from a broken idol from this. Reish Lakish says, once the gun broke, the Plishim stopped serving it. They stopped worshipping it, right? But they still went with paganism. They still believed in an idol, they just didn't believe on this. But Tichbad Yad Hashem al Ashdodim, the hand of God was very heavy be upon the Ashdodim by Yishimim, and he devastated them. And he gave them massive hemorrhoids. Now what happened exactly? There was a disease that was caused by mice. Mice started attacking them when they went to the bathroom, started biting them in the tushies, started making them have these massive hemorrhoids. That was that. Remember they said before, God doesn't have any plagues left? God's like, I've got a really good one. I've been saving this one for you. Mice eating your tushy and then making you have hemorrhoids. Unbelievable stuff over here. The reason why it's written as apolim, but it's read as korim, is korim is really hemorrhoids. Apolim describes the rat type of hemorrhoids. The mice and rats infecting your body. Exactly. That's how bad it is. It is extremely terrible. Extremely terrible. I don't want to hear it. No, don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I can imagine what you're going to say, and I don't want to hear it. But you, Anshi Ashdod, the people of Ashdod, they saw, right, he came, that this is all happening. We can't let the Aron stay with us. It's too harsh. And I'm our God. Can you imagine still believing in another God?
Yeah, it's easy.
I guess because the Aron Elohim was already stolen, right? So the Aron clearly didn't protect.
There's a power. It's like, we're disrespecting somebody else's God, so we better, you know.
That's it. Maybe you're right. Either way, they sent over and they gathered together all the officers of Felicia and Lehem. So what should we do with Aron Elohim Yisrael? They said we should bring it to the city of Gas, right? And they brought the Aron Elohim Yisrael over to Gas. They said, all right, maybe it's affected. Maybe the reason why the Aron is hurting everybody is because it's so near Dogon. Okay, Dogon. So move it. Move it to somewhere else. Move it to Gas and see what happens from over there. Nothing. I think that was the point. Like, it wasn't up against like any specific idol. So then it'll be okay. Yeah, also, after they moved it. God gave them, the people in Gaza, a huge confusion. Right? They also got this stuff, right? From the youngest to oldest and whatever it was. Okay, so that's that. They sent it to Akron. When it came to Akron, and the Akronim yelled out, what are you sending us this thing to kill us? We don't want it. Akron's like, get out of here. So they sent over and they gathered together all the officers of the police. Send it away, bring it back to its place. It shouldn't kill me and my nation. Because the confusion of death in all the city was very heavy. And the hand of God was right there. And those who hadn't died, they were hit with this crazy type of hemorrhoids, right? Their cries literally went up to Shemayim. They were screaming out loud and they even davened to Hashem.
So, if there's no Aron in the Mishkan, were they still doing the service?
They still had Mizbechos, yes. But the difference was, now that the Aron wasn't there, you were allowed to bring a Mizbech whatever you wanted. You could have Bamas, Bama Gedola, and Bama Katana. It did not have to be brought in Nov, it could be wherever you want.
That was the
That's when they say Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel, Shaikh, and the Kitchel of Slava. That's when they made the Kedusha from that point on. So they did not take it away.
That's
by Saini, that's what you just asked.
Oh, and even though there was no Aron.
Correct. They did it. What were you going
to
say?
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. That was that. We're going to talk about it a little bit when Yoshia hides the Aron. We'll talk about it a little bit then. The Aron of Hashem was in the fields of the Pelishim. Nobody would take it into their city for 7 months. But it didn't matter. Even though it was an open field, it still plagued the people.
How come we never went back for it?
Yes, we were punished for it. We're going to get to that.
Yeah, but then he was just,
the next day we should have gone back.
Shaul was willing to fight, send back. It was a major sin on the Jews' part, and that's
what about Shmuel's part?
Many Jews are about to die. Many, many Jews are about to die. You're right. I don't know where Shmuel was this whole time.
He's the leader.
Maybe not. Shmuel might have still, although he wasn't young. I don't want to say he was young. I don't know who the leader was, because Eli died, and there was no official leader. I guess Shmuel was the next in line.
We're
going
his way up there.
He's going to, but the question was, why did he get the charge?
Previous
Yeah, the nubby that everybody
was going to,
the Agapar Gimel. That is interesting. Why didn't Shmuel say anything? Why didn't Shmuel say anything? That is a good call. That is a very, very good call. The next thing over here, Mita Kenega Mita, we're going to see, there's going to be Onish. That's that. Because Avram gave Abimelech 7 sheep, the Aron was in the fields of the Plishtim for? 7 months.
He was just being nice.
That's it, yeah. It doesn't matter. You can't be nice to Plishtim like that. You can't just stop giving gifts to somebody. Losechon name is the positive.
Yeah, but he did it to get the thing in debt return. He wanted to have peace with them.
Did he? Did he need that peace? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to make that peace? Again, we do not, you cannot say that there was a chet for Avraham Avinu unless the pasuk says so, and it did not directly say so. But the Midrashim tell us that that was a problem in Avraham Avinu's heart. So I can't say it, but he does. The Ramban does list it in his list of 5 katoyim that Avraham Avinu did. One of them is that he gave it. Give me a second. Bama Ida, the fact that he gave a bris to Avimelech, the fact that he said that Sarah was his sister and lied to Paro, Avimelech as well. There's one more. I'm not remembering what it is. It's an obvious one, though. Oh, he let the people of Sodom back. He allowed the people of Sodom to go back to Sodom. He didn't keep them as his own avos.
The missed opportunity.
That's a kasha. He calls it chatzai. Avonos, he calls them. Avonos. That's what he calls
them.
I should say, as a side note, Reb Moshe, in Igros Moshe, in Drush Moshe, or Dorash Moshe, Chelek Beis, in Parshas Vayera, says that Ramban is a forgery. I never wrote it. So, as you know, by the way, a friend of mine went to the archives in England with the original Rambams. And Ramban. But they have the original Rambans, the handwritten Rambans. And he looked it up. And he found it there. He found it in the original Rambans. Which they claim the original. They say it's the original one from the Ramban. So he said, he saw it there. So he went to Reb David Feinstein, you know, Reb Moshe's son. And he told Reb David, he said, I looked and I saw it. How could Reb Moshe say that? So Reb David said, my father would hold that was the forger. Unbelievable, right? Reb Moshe says it in Darash Moshe. Straight out in Darash Moshe. Unbelievable. Anyway, by Yikru Polishim Lakwanim and Lakosim Lamor, the Polishim called out to the Kwanim as a magician, saying, what should we do without Hashem? How are we supposed to send it back? What are we going to do over here? By Yomro, and they said, if we're going to send it back, you see that? If we're going to, the officers were not so sure you should send it back. They weren't so sure. They said, listen, if you're going to send it back, yes, they had their seikos.
Leverage.
Yeah, they had their seikos.
They pretty much won the war. They're like, their arm is over.
They might not have been convinced that it was the Aaron that was doing everything. They might have thought that maybe they had done something wrong and they had angered their God in some other way. Who says it's the Aaron?
I went from one city to the other city. Everybody in that city got it. He's under the other.
No, Raya. Maybe something else happened in that city. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe there was something else. I don't know. So they said, if you're going to, we'll tell you what to do. Don't send it with nothing. Send back a gift, and then you'll be healed. And then you'll know, then we'll know, really, right? You'll know why his hand is not removed from you. And they were trying to say it, it's sort of like, and we'll see if it really was the Aron Kodesh. Okay, we'll see what happened. What kind of gift should we give? They said, 5 gifts of gold, of hemorrhoids, the Chamisha Afrizal, and 5 rats of gold, because there is one plague for everything.
Yeah, but that's, you got to read it the other way, right? The little asterisk, you know,
I will tell you, the Rambam says it very simply. There's no way in heck there were 5 golden hemorrhoids that were given. How do you know how to, how do you make gold, what is that?
A colon.
That's what it would be.
Yeah.
It seems very like the Rambam says that it wasn't hemorrhoids. It was something to represent the fact that they had gotten hemorrhoids. That's what it was supposed to be.
What is it?
No, like a gift. Like just something nice. A golden something. That would be like 5 golden something or other. Like cups.
Nice. I don't know. To represent.
No, 5 cups. 5 cups. You know, just something nice. Nothing to do with corn, but meaning you got hemorrhoids by all 5 cities of the Phoenician. So give 5 cups. One for each thing, but not that they sent golden hemorrhoids.
Yeah, golden mice is exactly the nicest. I mean,
no, and that also, the exact same thing. It wasn't really golden mice. It was something else instead that represented the mice. Right, but it wasn't that. That's the way the Rambam understands it. Okay? You could also say Pshad. Pshad is that you send it back. But you tell me Horeifem, tell me Afareifem, how much gives them to the earth, you'll send that back that are destroying the land. If that's what Israel covered, you'll give to the God of Israel covered. Ula Yakov is the other man, maybe he'll take his hand away from you. May okay, come out of them from upon your God and from upon your land. What upon your land? Because it seems that the mice were also eating the grain of the field and consuming all of the crops. It's not like, I gotta get rid of these mice. The mice are everywhere. Why have you hardened your heart? Like Mitzrayim and Paro hardened their hearts. Hello, Kasheris, hello, Bahem, Yishalkum, Bayelechu. You know, after he mocked them, after he set them off, he sent them off, right? And they left. So maybe you have to do the same. This is what you got to do. Take a brand new wagon. One brand new wagon. Shtei Paros, Allah, Sesher, Lo, Allah, Lamb, Ol. Two cows that are milking, in other words, that have children. So that means when the cows are taken away from their kids, what will they want to do?
Go back to their
mothers. I'm sorry, I should have said, like, meaning that, right? Go back to their mothers. Asher lo ala lam ol, that had never taken a yoke before, which means that they don't know work. They don't know what it means to carry a wagon.
They're
dairy cows. Yeah. Tie them onto the wagon. And then bring their, not the kids. It's the mothers. And send the kids home. Okay, send the kids home. That the mothering cows will be right there. This is a test. What's the test? Let's see what happens. Let's see if the cows really bring it back. You should take the Aron of Hashem. You should put it in the wagon. And the gold that you are returning is an Asham as a gift. Put it in a treasury box on the side. That is the Argaz that was later put on there. Send it and go. See if they go right back up the border to Beit Shemesh. Then it was God that did this. Then we'll know that it's not his hand, it's not God. It's a mikra. It happened to us. Then we'll know that it was just a mikra of what it's supposed to be. Also, by the way, that way was uphill. So again, cows would not normally go up there, especially if they're not used to work. They took the two milking cows. They took their children and they brought them backwards to the house and they jailed them up in the house. They put the Aron of Hashem into the wagon. And the cows went on a straight course, Yashar, Yashar, Yamina, on the way to Beit Shemesh. The Mesila HaKazolku, they all went one path, Haloch V'go'o. They went and they cried. They didn't turn right or left. The officers of the police went after them all the way to the border of Beit Shemesh. Chazal say, the cows sang a song on the way up.
What song?
Here we go. So I got four different answers. Number one, here we go. Number one, they sang...
Old MacDonald had a pun?
No, here, I'll tell you. Right here.
Ready?
Roni, Roni, Ashita. He's no Fibi Barab Hadarayach. Hamakushaka Barik Mezog. Hamulava Bidvir Armon. Hamupetis Ben Shneak Huvim.
No.
That's what they're saying. That's number one.
Really?
Yeah, that's the best from the Medrash. That's number one. Number two, Oz Yashir. Number three, Yeshaya Perak Yud Beis. Number four, Tehillim Sadi Tess. Right? That's Hashem Malach. Number five, Tehillim Sadi Gimel. Which one? Sadi Gimel Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Number six, 98, Sadi Ches.
What's the
that's one of the last ones, Kabbalah Shabbos. He says
connection?
Each one, the wonders or whatever it is. Number seven, they say, what?
Sadi Ches.
No, Kuf is Mizmor Soda.
Sadi Ches is
Kuf is Mizmor Soda.
What's Sadi Ches?
That's actually Hashem Malach.
93?
Yeah, 93.
Is Hashem Malach?
Hashem Malach Yuslavish. Sadi Ches.
98 is Mizmor Shir Hashem
Shir Hashem, and Hashem Malach is 99, right? There we go. Okay, so that's that. And then we also have Yeshaya Beis. The best one is, there's another opinion that says they sing a song of praise to God in their own bovine language. It was only intelligible to those humans like King Shlomo and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who understood the language of animals. By the way, does anybody know where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talked to animals?
In the cave.
No, he did not. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was never in a cave.
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Rabbi Yoman Zakkai, to my knowledge, never talked to animals. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yair talked to animals.
How did you know
him? Yoman Zakkai? Yeah. Not the Gemara. I don't remember a Bavli that says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talked to animals. So you'd have to find that over there. Either way, regardless, that's that. At first, they load, meaning they just give a and then slowly but surely, as they neared Beit Shemesh, they broke out into song. I don't know if there was a dance.
Coming to Israel.
Yeah, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But literally, they sang an intelligible song of praise to God. They were given the power to speak with Bilam's donkey. Now, why are the cows not mentioned in Pirkei Avos when it mentions the miracles that happened and mentions that Bilam's donkey's mouth was given the ability to speak? Why not mention these? The mention of Bilam's donkey was meant to include all animals that miraculously spoke, and that includes these as well. It could also be, by the way, another way of saying it, quite often, you know, the times that the psukim make that it sounds like inanimate objects or animals are singing when they're not really. Like, in Sadiches it says that the rivers clap their hands and the mountains cheer. They don't literally, but it says if they are. 96, it says all the Kol Arzeil of Anon Yashiru, that they all sing out loud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, they have that, that's Sadivav. So they're allegorical illusions. That's what it's supposed to be. Either way, but this is an awesome little pasuk. That's an awesome thing to have. Pasuk Yud Gimel, guys, Beit Shemesh quotes in Ketir Chitim. The people of Beit Shemesh were reaping the reap of wheat. Notice, by the way, even though the mice were eating all the fields of the Pelishtim, they were not eating a single thing of the Jews. What?
Or is it how they shavuos?
That is correct. Ketir Chitim, the Amic in the Valley of Aiso at the name, they lifted up their eyes. The year was Aron, Aiso Fularos. They saw the Aron Kodesh and they were happy to see it. Okay, that's that. Now, I want to remind you of something, right? When did the whole thing happen? When did the war happen in which they lost? Seventh year. Count 7 months from here. Ir, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, right? Tishrei, Cheshvan, which means after the 7 months would be Kislev. This would have happened in Kislev. What the heck? The normal time of reaping happens in Shavuos. So it means this attested to a bountiful crop that they were still harvesting. Still harvesting in Kislev from the previous harvest.
Whoa.
That's the idea behind it, right? That's that. Because they were so joyful, they neglected to treat the Aron Kodesh with the proper yira that it deserved. We're going to do one more over here. Va'agala balos de Yoshua, Beis Hashem, she came to the field of Yoshua of Beit Shemesh. I have no idea who this guy is. But Tamot Shem, it stood there. But Shem Eben Gedol, there was a massive stone there. Va'akos Atei Agala, they took off the boards of the wagon, and Paros Halu Olu Hashem, and they brought the cows as an Ola to Hashem. How were they allowed to do this?
Yeah.
There is. If the Mishkan was in Nod, that meant it wasn't in the proper place. If it wasn't in the proper place, that means what? That means you were allowed to have a Bama.
I was there.
And that's why it was okay. That's what you're supposed to do. So in other words, that would be okay, perfectly fine for them to be able to do it. The only problem is that normally an Ola has to be a male animal. And these were female animals. Female animals are not supposed to be an Ola. However, that law doesn't apply on a Bama. On a Bama, an Ola can be a male or a female. That's that.
These were the non-Jewish animals.
And also, they were idol-worshipping animals, right?
Yes,
That's the problem. Two answers. Either number one, it was Horos Shah. It was Horos just for that time, but normally it's not okay. Number two, it's that it may be that it was the Pelishtim that sacrificed the cows. The Pelishtim followed behind it and watched what happened. They were the ones who sacrificed the cows. All right, we're up to Perek Vav. We almost finished. I wanted to get to Perek Zion. All right, we came in close. We got on five sukkim. Don't it? I blame you, David.